to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, my name is Zachary Smith. I am your host today, as I am every week here on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network, family, whatever you want to call us here, this dysfunctional little group of family members here that love to talk about wrestling, and I am no different. I have a fun episode of NXT to talk with you about today, and I'm always excited when I get to talk to people about wrestling. The people in my life don't like wrestling. Sometimes I force my mom to sit down like I did a couple weeks ago and listen to me talk about it. But here, I have people that want to listen to it. It's pretty cool. Before we get started, I do want to let you know you can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. You can always find me talking about wrestling and other fun things over there. I usually get a lot of the content for the show from that Twitter page. So hit me up over there and we can get it started. But usually we talk about the news and the notes, what's going on with wrestling. I'm going to be honest, I don't think there was a ton going on. Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens at the Royal Rumble. That's fine. It'll be a good match that Kevin Owens won't win. Drew McIntyre has the unfortunate task of wrestling Goldberg, who wasn't a good wrestler in the 90s when he was one of the biggest stars and certainly isn't now. So Godspeed to Drew. He's a very good wrestler. He can pull that off, but I don't want to watch Goldberg anymore in any capacity. He signed to a deal. There are people that like him. I am fine with that. I don't want to watch him wrestle because it's an unpleasant experience most of the time. He's a lot less safe than he used to be, and that's saying something. And I certainly don't think he should be in a WWE Championship match here in the year of 2021. We have enough to deal with. But that's fine. Nothing super interesting going on in the world of wrestling from that angle. Personal-wise, I got a new job. For the past several weeks now, I've been working two jobs, an overnight gig at a grocery store, and then working during the day at a hospital. And I am very excited about the opportunity to work at the hospital full-time coming up next week. So next week's episode will probably be out later in the day because I will be working like a regular human schedule. It's going to be weird. It's been almost 5 years of me working this overnight gig and living like a vampire. If I can give you any advice professionally, don't do something overnight. You think your body will get used to it, and it most certainly will not. So I will be doing that. So we'll still have the show on the same day. Might just be a different time. And hopefully I can join Matt on a few more episodes as our schedules will be closer together now. And we have some fun stuff coming up that I can't wait to talk to you about as well. So I will be doing that. That's kind of our news and notes. But we also have a very fun episode of NXT to talk about. We are from the Capitol Wrestling Center again, as we always are. We have a quick recap last week of Timothy Thatcher beating Ciampa in the fight pit. You have a begrudging respect for each other now, as you tend to do when you have a battle like that with somebody. And turns out there's an opening in the Dusty Cup, this tag team tournament that we've been having, and Thatcher and Ciampa are now going to be a team in that tournament. I believe another team got dropped out, I want to say during 205 Live, I don't remember. And so this kind of makeshift team is going to come out of it. Kind of works out well. Ciampa didn't really have a ton going on. He was just kind of floating from one thing to the next. And Thatcher, I cannot remember the last match that he won before beating Ciampa in the fight pit. So I think this could be good for both guys. It gives Ciampa something to do. Makes you take Thatcher a little bit more seriously, hopefully. So situations like this, you can put people together and kind of have them do something important when you don't necessarily have something important for them to do as individuals. So I'm good with it. And in the spirit of the Dusty Classic, Killian Dane and Drake Maverick are already in the ring. Drake Maverick is very excited to be there, and Killian Dane is very much not. Wade Barrett still hates their music. That's a great running bit. Reminds me of when Corey Graves was the announcer for NXT, and every time Elias would come out playing his guitar, the disdain in Corey Graves' voice was fantastic. It was a slightly more exaggerated version of Jim Ross calling really any kind of modern wrestling that isn't FTR, really. And it was fantastic. See, it's fantastic when it's part of the story. When it's an employee that just doesn't want to try and make something sound good, it's a little bit different. I don't hold grudges. I'm not petty. You're petty. Shut up. So, they are going to be going up against MSK. They're making their entrance. So, sorry to Drake Maverick and Killian Dane, but it seems like MSK is going to go pretty far in this tournament. As WWE has presented these guys, I don't know much about them except that they are high energy and we learned their names last week. That's about all we've got so far. Their matches have been good, so still not a bad way to debut a team. I just hope after this tournament or as it goes on, we learn more about them. NXT is usually very good at having us get to know somebody with vignettes or having us get to know a team with vignettes. And last week's vignette really didn't do that for me personally. So I hope that we kind of learn more and more about them so that there's that connection point for them. So they're not just guys that have good matches. So as we start the match, I have now also learned that one of the members of MSK does a lot of sit-ups and the other member of MSK does not do a lot of sit-ups. I am a big guy, so that is no shade. I legitimately had to pause there because I just tried to think of the last time I did a sit-up, and I'm going to be honest with you, I got nothing. It sucks, but anytime you see a team that debuts as a team, like not just two guys that get thrown together, but a team that comes in as a team, you immediately start thinking about who's going to be the Shawn Michaels and who's going to be the Marty Jannetty. And that's not fair, one, because if they're a team, maybe they want to stay a team. And also, it sets it up as if one of them is not as talented as the other, which may not be the case. It's just they go with one and don't go with the other. That's been WWE's history with tag teams. They don't particularly care about tag teams and don't like them very much, and they will break the team up at some point, and one of you is going to go one way and one's going to go the other. That being said, the dude that does the sit-ups is going to be the Shawn Michaels of this team. Now, MSK hits a cool double team move on Drake Maverick, and they pick up the win. It was an okay match. You never really got out of first gear. These tournament matches haven't really blown you away this year as of yet, but hopefully it'll pick up as we whittle down the extra teams that are in this tournament. So MSK continues their impressive debuts, at least from an in-ring perspective. We cut to the outside, and a black car pulls up. It's Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, and Danny Burch arriving at the arena. Pete Dunne stays in the car and fist bumps him. It looks like Pete Dunne is like their father dropping them off at school. That's great. Love that. Can't help but notice that Pat McAfee has not been around for a while. I love Pat McAfee. I listen to his podcast every week. I forget exactly what he said, but he did talk about him basically getting fired over Christmas. The problem here is that I do not know if that is a real thing or a storyline thing. I can't think of why it would be a storyline thing. Pat McAfee also strikes me as the kind of guy that would talk about that in a real-world way, not a storyline way. If that is true, that he was not needed anymore. That's a mistake because Pat was a great mouthpiece for this group. This is a group of guys that are very, very good, but none of them are great talkers. Pete Dunne is your best talker, and that's not necessarily his strong suit. He's very good as a heel. He's a good talker, but not the leader necessarily of a faction. Whereas Pat McAfee was the mouthpiece, he was the bad guy who got all the heat on the group and made people not like them. Also, in storyline, Pat McAfee is the one that basically paid these guys off to be in a group with him. So, there's not really a reason for these dudes to be hanging out if they're not with Pat McAfee. And also, Pat McAfee brings a kind of electricity to things that he does, and he's very good as a wrestler bringing interest into a match. He makes you want to tune in to see him get beat up, which is the entire point of being a bad guy. And the group just feels like it's now missing something substantial without Mr. McAfee. But looks like we're going to go on without him for some reason. I'm sure he did something that they didn't like, maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's a storyline, which it's a dumb storyline if it is, or if it's real, and it's more dumb if it's real. There's an interview with Kurt Stallion, who's been kind of coming up to challenge for the Cruiserweight title. He's being interviewed in the ring. He talks about driving 19 hours to make towns. He would look out the window and see tumbleweeds. He said he'd also see stars, and he said he'd follow the shooting stars, and he knew Kurt the Lone Star Stallion. It represents the life he wants to live, and he has his sights set on the Cruiserweight champ, and when he becomes champ, this star will become a superstar. I don't know how the Cruiserweight title makes you a superstar. I love Santos Escobar, but he has been made either the same or less of a star by being Cruiserweight champion, not more. That segment was weird and not good and boring, which is not necessarily the trifecta you're going for. You can be nonsensical if you're interesting, but you don't necessarily want to be boring and talking about nothing. And that's kind of what that felt like. That's nothing against Kurt Stallion. That's against the people whose idea it was to do this like this. Just let the guy talk. Why is he telling a story about tumbleweeds and driving 19 and blah, 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 blah. Just let him talk and just tell his story. Stories are what bring us closer to performers and make us care about the matches that happen. This painting a word picture is something WWE has never been particularly good at, and they really think they are, and they're not. We cut from whatever that was to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez making their way to the ring. They are teaming up in the Dusty Classic to team up against Aaliyah and someone else that's not Aaliyah. I'm sorry, I do not know. I think it's Jesse Kamea, I think. They are accompanied by Robert Stone, and it occurs to me that I have not seen Robert Stone in a long time. If you remember, when Robert Stone was around a lot, mostly to build up Rhea Ripley, I praised the stuff that he did. He was a very good bad guy, and he was given just nothing to work with and made something out of it. And I thought he was a real asset as a manager, and I suppose they did not agree because they liked Robert Stone as a manager for a time. They featured him, and then either they stopped liking Robert Stone or they stopped having any ideas for Robert Stone. He's very entertaining. He makes the things that he's a part of better. He could be used as a joke like he is now, or he could do something more serious, but they have opted instead of one of those just to not use him on the main show at all, which seems an odd choice for somebody who's clearly talented. And again, makes things better when he's a part of them and is kind of a Swiss Army performer. You can kind of put him in whatever role you want, and or alternatively, you could just have him not be in a role at all. It's just an interesting way to go. Raquel hits the one-armed. I'm not sure if it's a powerbomb or a chokeslam. Technically, it seems more like a powerbomb on the one that isn't Aaliyah. I believe that's Kamea. And Dakota and Raquel pick up the win. they're going to get Casey Catanzaro and Kayden Carter presumably next week in the next round of the women's division of the Dusty Classic. That should be a good match. And you guys aren't going to believe this, but Scarlett is in a dark room with a red light sitting at a table speaking ominously while laying down tarot cards. She's talking a lot. It sounds like an old Bray Wyatt promo where he would say things in a way that he believed was deep and like the character believed it was deep, but it did not mean anything. It was just a bunch of words. It's meant to be creepy and ominous and foreboding, and it is none of those things. It feels like when I was in high school, and when I was in high school, I collected all kinds of friends. So I had like athlete friends and then popular ones and then not popular ones, the nerds, the jocks, the stoners, the whatever, and the goth kids. And it feels like in high school when one of my goth friends would have a poem and they wanted to read it to me. Don't get me wrong, I liked the poems, but that's what we're working with. That's a problem for a couple reasons. One, it's not ominous, it's not foreboding, it's not creepy, it's funny. And I'm not seeing Karrion Kross. And I understand, like, you know, TikTok, your time's coming. Like, it's supposed to be, oh no, what are we going to do? But it comes across as, I picture Karrion Kross writing all of this out and then asking Scarlett to go do it because he's shy or something. It's not so much a beast tamer just barely holding back the tide of a beast. It's somebody that yells a lot that they are a beast, but has their girlfriend do most of their talking and intimidating for them. And that's fine. There is nothing wrong with that. But I don't then think that you're a monster because you beat people up. That's not how those two things work when they are put together. So whatever, I guess Karrion Kross is coming after somebody. That's cool, probably, or not, whatever. Finn Balor's being interviewed, but is immediately interrupted by Kyle O'Reilly walking up. He says, are you ready? Finn says he's always ready. O'Reilly asks if he can trust him. Finn says, what do you think? O'Reilly basically says, doesn't really matter as long as we have the same goal and the same enemies. So that'll be our main event of the night. For the time being, we cut back to the ring, and Kushida and Leon Ruff are already in the ring. And then the Grizzled Young Veterans are cutting a promo while they walk to the match. I never found the Grizzled Young Veterans to be particularly interesting, but I do like cutting a promo on the way to the ring. That's a cool idea. I like that. Kushida has been booked really well recently. I think he's going to be kept strong here, maybe for a North American title match down the line. That being said, immediately after I typed that, the Grizzled Young Veterans pin Leon Ruff. Kushida still kept strong. He wasn't in the ring for that pin. He was taken out earlier. This presumably then gives Kushida a chance to go for that North American title, as the NXT title seems to be tied up for the moment. So that makes sense. Leon Ruff isn't doing anything. He had his North American title run as part of that story that I'm still not sure why there was a detour in that story, but he was North American champ for a bit, and then they didn't really have anything else for him to do. So here we are, and so you get Kushida away from that to have him be taken more seriously. That makes sense. Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano run out to attack Kushida. He fights back for a minute, but they take him down. Theory goes out to ringside to take Leon Ruff out. Johnny hits that apron DDT on Kushida. Johnny holds up the North American title over him, is yelling at him. In the background, behind Austin Theory, where the audience would have been, Dexter Lumis appears, and he's staring at both of them. And he's doing his best to open his eyes as wide as he can. It makes him look a little silly. And they both act cocky, but they do walk off. So we have a weird mix of Johnny and Austin Theory mixed with Dexter Lumis and Kushida. I don't know if we're doing a triple threat match for that North American title or if there's a tag team thing. So whatever we're doing is an interesting setup. So we cut to the back, and there's a bunch of people around Curtis Stallion, who is laid out in the back. Rio comes up and asks what happened, and Stallion says Legado del Fantasma took him out. That's Santos Escobar's group. The way that they are talking here, I believe the idea was originally that Curtis Stallion Santos Escobar match was supposed to happen tonight. We cut to Legado del Fantasma in their locker room, and they're laughing, clearly having laid out Mr. Stallion. And Regal comes in, and he's mad. And Mad Regal is great because he's not a wrestler anymore, but you still see flashes of that intensity that he had. They, of course, deny attacking Mr. Stallion. Regal says next week, Santos will defend his cruiserweight title, and if something happens to Curtis, in the meantime, there will be dire consequences for all of you. And they all act like they're freaked out, and then Regal leaves and storms off, and they immediately start laughing again. Santos turns around. His NXT title is sitting, or his cruiserweight title, excuse me, is sitting there, and he goes to pick up the title, and there's one of those dumb tarot cards under it. So I guess Karrion Kross is coming after the cruiserweight champ. That's an odd move for him. Also, listen, I promise that I do not go into Karrion Kross stuff wanting to dislike it. Quite the opposite. I want everybody genuinely to be successful. And I like Karrion Kross and Scarlett the People. I think their characters are lame herbs. Because when I see the tarot card being under the cruiserweight title, what's supposed to happen is I'm supposed to go, ooh, Karrion Kross is coming after you. But I think two things. One, I think, why'd you go from Damian Priest to the cruiserweight champion? And then I think of, while they were attacking Curtis Stallion, Scarlett, because Karrion Kross is too scared to do it, sneaking into their locker room, finding the cruiserweight title, and putting a tarot card under it, and then watching the monitors to watch the show to make sure they pick up the tarot card, then quickly leaving the arena so it's creepier that there's a tarot card under there. I know that's not how it happened, but that's all that I can picture, because it's the characters are people that are trying really hard to seem cool. It's like being like a big Undertaker and Kane fan in middle school, and you're at a sleepover and you start playing with the lights and during a thunderstorm. Like, it's not scary. You're a kid who's trying to be scary. And really all I can picture is like Scarlett tiptoeing into the locker room to hide that tarot card. And it makes me laugh and laugh. And I don't think that's what we're going for, but that's fine. We're all fine. We're having a great time. We cut to the ring. Toni Storm's making her entrance. She's cutting a promo on our women's champion, Io Shirai. She talks about beating Rhea Ripley for the UK title. She talks about beating Io to win the women's tournament. She says she wanted to make history in the Dusty Classic, but Io took that away from her, and so she wants to hurt Io, and more importantly, take the women's title from her. Now, as always, number one rule in NXT, if you mention Io Shirai or the NXT women's title, Io will show up. Go right now and say her name, not even three times, once in the mirror, like Bloody Mary, right now, and she will pop up in your house. You can mention Io, you can mention the women's title, she's gonna pop up. 100% of the time, she's gonna show up. It's one of the funnest things about NXT, because sometimes your champion won't be there, or they'll be busy doing something else, or they'll come out but just to talk with somebody. Io, if you mention her, or the women's title, or sometimes just the women's division at all, Io's going to pop up, and Io wants to fight you right now. That's cool. As a women's champion, or rather as an NXT champion, that's really cool. It's also different because she's about that action. She's not interested in doing promos, although she does a very short one here in order to lead to a fight. She's here to just fight you because you're not about to say my name and not have to earn it. That's how we're doing this. Io is a lot of fun as champion. She might lose the title coming up soon. I don't know, but Io's one of those people that could be champion for just a infinity, and I would never get sick of it, because I'm never going to get sick of her just coming out and beating people up. it's kind of what I thought Asuka was going to be on the main roster, because she was the Goldberg of NXT if Goldberg was a really good wrestler, or like a good wrestler, or like a wrestler. And then on the main roster, Asuka has been kind of a comedy character. So on one hand, she gets to do different stuff. She seems to be having fun. But on the other hand, I kind of thought that what Io's doing now is what Asuka would have been. If you mention Asuka or you mention the women's title, Asuka shows up and she wants to fight. But that has not been the case. So Io is our champion that's down to scrap whenever, wherever. And I just hope that if one day Io goes to the main roster, she gets to be a serious character and she's not just put in a tag team with Asuka, because I don't need to tell you why the decision makers on the main roster would put Io Shirai and Asuka together, but I think you and I both know exactly why they would put Io Shirai and Asuka together, and it just occurred to me that that's 100% what they would want to do. But listen, it's a safe space here. We both know why they'd put them together. I'm not going to say it, but you come on, you know. So I just hope that if she goes to the main roster eventually, that she is taken as a serious character. You can show more quote-unquote entertaining sides of yourself, but I think somebody like Io Shirai shines best when she is this badass that comes out whenever her name is mentioned, or if she's a champion, when her title's mentioned, and she just wants to fight. She's just here to fight. That's what she's here to do. And sometimes that's all you need. She's been women's champion for a while now, and I have not at all gotten sick of it. One, because she's excellent on the ring and makes other people better, which is very important for a champion. But two, because that character trait is never going to get old. Stone Cold Steve Austin is the most popular wrestler ever for many reasons, but one of the reasons is because he was this redneck dude who you could find in just about any bar that would fight you for looking at him wrong. And you plop that guy in the middle of the World Wrestling Federation at the time, and Stone Cold was ready to fight anybody, anywhere. He was going to talk trash first. Io doesn't do that. But at Stone Cold's core, he was a guy that was looking for a fight and didn't need much of an excuse at all to fight. And so if you mentioned Stone Cold, the glass was going to break. He was going to come out like a house of fire, and he was going to fight you. And that's just a really cool thing to see, and that's your champion. And I love it. So it makes sense to me. Io takes the mic from Tony. She says, "I'll fight you anywhere," and says that she doesn't like her. Tony takes her down, and they proceed to start fighting. Io drop kicks Tony out of the ring, and she's standing up, and then Mercedes Martinez comes from behind her and takes her out. Then Mercedes picks up the women's title. Before she can really do anything with it, Io rolls out of the ring, and Tony comes from behind Mercedes and grabs onto the title, and they're starting to argue about the title. And then from off-screen, that's always a cool shot WWE does, where a move is coming and they intentionally cut off part of the ring so that you don't see the move coming. So Io comes from the top rope with a drop kick on both of them, but it would have taken away from it if you had seen Io climbing up to the top rope. So if you're there live, you see it. But on TV, it looks like they're just arguing, and then Io comes in like a missile from nowhere and takes out both of them. There's a lot of problems with WWE's like camera work, especially on the main roster, where they will miss stuff, or they'll be on stuff they shouldn't be, or literally every punch, kick, slap, chop, suplex, or any move, there's a camera cut. So if I punch you five times, there's going to be five camera cuts. But that is a cool shot that they've done for as long as I can remember, where you just do not see a move coming. So she drop kicks both of them and takes them out. She starts attacking Mercedes Martinez, but then Tony pulls her out of the ring and then starts beating on Io Shirai. And then Tony's kind of the last woman standing, and she picks up the women's title. So it seems as though, with all of them interacting with each other like this, I originally thought it was going to be Io taking on Mercedes first and maybe then Toni Storm or vice versa. But it seems like with this setup, we're going to have Io Shirai defending the women's title against both Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez in a triple threat match, which should be awesome. All of them are great workers. And again, I cannot stress enough how much of a great decision it was for Mercedes Martinez to go, this retribution thing on the main roster is so stupid. Please send me back to NXT and let me be like a serious wrestler and not torpedo my career and main roster debut, pretty please. And they were magnanimous enough to allow her to do that, and now she's a serious contender for the women's title. So we're presumably going to have that match at some point, and that's going to be fantastic. Io is great in singles matches. She shines in triple threats as well. All three of them are experienced and are going to make each other look really good. Whatever card that's on, that could very easily be the match of the night. I'm excited to see it. So it is main event time for the evening. Kyle O'Reilly's already in the ring, and here comes the NXT champion, Finn Balor. They kind of stare each other down. Next, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, our NXT Tag Team Champions, make their way to the ring. Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor don't seem to like each other a lot, particularly, but they seem to begrudgingly respect each other after their two matches, and they certainly work well together. This is an excellent tag team. This is, ironically, on a show promoting the Dusty Classic, was the best tag team match by far tonight. Danny Burch goes for, I forget if it's a second rope or a top rope drop kick, but in midair, Kyle O'Reilly catches him and brings him down to the mat and already has like a knee bar on him and makes him tap out. So Kyle O'Reilly caught Danny Burch out of midair and made him tap out. That's a really awesome finish out of nowhere. A submission out of nowhere or as a counter to a move you don't think you can do a submission on is always so cool. Kurt Angle was the king of that. He would catch the ankle lock out of moves that you would not have thought you could catch it out of, and it was always fantastic, and it was always one of my favorite things. I didn't see that one coming. Sometimes you can see a counter coming. I did not see that coming from Kyle O'Reilly. Whoever came up with that finish, great job. So match is over, but Oney Lorcan takes out Kyle O'Reilly, and then Pete Dunne gets in the ring, and they're both attacking Finn Balor. Kyle comes back into the ring to help him, but then Danny Burch comes back in. It's 3-on-1. Seems like Pete Dunne is the leader of this outfit now. Again, Pete Dunne is fantastic, but McAfee made this group more interesting. McAfee made this group more hateable, and McAfee seemed more like the leader of this group of misfit a-holes. Now it just feels like nothing in comparison. It's not that Pete Dunne is not as good as Pat McAfee. I certainly would never imply that. But as a storyteller on the microphone and as a presence, Pat McAfee's contributions to this group were very clearly indispensable, and they seem to have dispensed with it. So here we are. Finally, Roderick Strong and Adam Cole come out to help. They kind of took their time there. They all clear the ring. Finn is hurt, but he stands tall with the other members of the Undisputed Era. Still no Bobby Fish. I don't know if he's hurt again. I feel like a broken record at this point. I keep saying it every week. But either they're not using him, which is weird, or he got released or got COVID or got injured. Either way, it seems weird to not mention Bobby Fish at all or come up with an excuse for him not being there every week, because now it just looks like Bobby Fish is mad, and maybe that's where we go here, but I don't know what they're doing with Bobby Fish. It just kind of feels like Bobby Fish is now like a unofficial, no longer a member of the Undisputed Era, and we're still teasing that Finn is going to join forces with the Undisputed Era. So I don't know if that's going to end up happening or if this is just a temporary alliance. Either way, Finn with the Undisputed Era, specifically with Adam Cole, should be great. And I'm excited to see kind of where we go with it. We're going to need another member of Pete Dunne, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch. They're going to need one more. Maybe that's Pat McAfee coming back. but we have a kind of four-on-four situation going on right now. And Finn Balor with the Undisputed Era is just a fantastic kind of makeshift faction. So I'm excited to see what we get. And I'm excited to see the Dusty Classic continue on the men and women's side and see what we're doing as far as the North American title and the women's title and the NXT title. I don't know if we're getting Pete Dunne with him next. It seems like Karrion Kross is going to be busy taking out the Cruiserweight champion because that's the way back to the top. I'm just kind of I'm excited for next week to see what we're getting set up for a big show down the road. But I want to hear what you think. Again, over on Twitter, I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Let me know your thoughts about the show. What'd you like? What didn't you like? How'd you feel about the show overall? And what match are you most excited to see that was set up here? You want to see an NXT title match with Finn and Pete Dunne? You want to see that women's triple threat? You want to see the North American title defended against Kushida and maybe Dexter Lumis? What do you want to see? Let me know over there. In the meantime, that has been NXT, which means that is my time. I appreciate you listening. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic. And again, thank you for listening.